I'm so thankful that I get an opportunity to be here, and I praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing in your church, and this is wonderful. And I'm thanking God for your preacher and his family, and they have a special place in my heart. As Daddy and Mama come and sing for us, and they've done that a couple times, and so we always ask about how you're doing and all that kind of thing. And they usually tell me the truth, that you're doing bad and everything like that. You've been in jail, things like that, so... But they always brag on their son, and I think that's wonderful. And thank you again for allowing me to be here. I mean that. I fully intended on buttoning my coat, but then we went to the Slick Pig. So I don't know, if I button my coat, it might become a weapon, and so I don't want to do that. And so, but let me tell you what we're doing. And I do pastor a church, and God allowed us to take that church a few. And I guess 3.5 years ago now, and the church was just a small church. They were talking about closing their doors, selling their buildings. And so thank the Lord. To God be the glory. But they're averaging about 110 now. So praise the Lord for that. And I didn't do it. But one of these days when it grows, I'm going to write a book on how to do it. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it, but I'll take credit. No, I'm kidding you. But it's wonderful. The Lord's been so good to my wife and I. And my children are serving the Lord with us, some of them there and then some in Florida. So what we're doing, Direct Line Ministry, we supply missionaries with Bibles around the world. So we do two main things. We distribute scriptures, and we also train, and we work with folks that maybe not have access to colleges, things of that nature, Bible colleges at different places. And so we take teams, and we're able to go train them. So we do those kind of things. Also, what I'd like for you to do this evening, if you go by the table back there, there's a couple things. I'd like for you to pick up some of this material and read through it. That'll get you an idea about what we're doing, supplying missionaries around the world. We are on our 20th container in the last 2 years. Over 3 million scriptures we've shipped around the world. And so, is this thing on? I said 3 million scriptures around the world. Okay, I was just checking to see if you're alive and everything. But it is a thrill to see what the Lord is doing. And we've been doing that for a long time. I just started counting it a little different. I started putting it on the internet. That's how I know about all that. But I'm very thankful that we get to do that. We have a 35,000 square foot building in Statesboro, Georgia, just right down the road from our church. And so we're back and forth doing the work of the Lord there. But I want to show you a couple things. Of course, this is our prayer card. If you'll take one of those and pray for us, my wife is on there and some information there. You can go to directlineministry.com and get all this information as well. This is one of the brochures that we give out to explain what Direct Line Ministry does and how we supply missionaries around the world. And so take a look at that. We also have some property in Saltillo, Mexico, and we're praying about this, and this is our next level of Direct Line Ministry. Our goal is to have a distribution center and strategically located all around the world. And so we're praying about Africa right now. I've got a guy that we're working with. I was telling your pastor, we've shipped 4 containers of scriptures to him, and of just amazing amounts of scriptures of getting the word of God out. How many know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? People need the Bible. And so that's what we're doing. But Saltillo property there, we have a place there that we are working to sort of put our attention back on. And it was kind of neglected for a while. But now, as the Lord has called us to lead the ministry, after Brother Deem, our director, passed away, we're trying to give attention to it. So what we're trying to do down there in Saltillo, Mexico, is we're planting churches, strengthening local churches, training Christian workers on that property. And we have a sort of a motel room, kind of an area of dormitories, things of that nature. And we'd love for you to consider coming down. In fact, I'm going to be opening up probably in March or so, and asking churches if they'd like to come down and help, or whatever they want to do there, take a missions trip. So you wouldn't have to worry about a motel. We have places you could cook your own food. All of that's there. It just needs some attention. And so if you'll pray with me about that and ask God to help us with that, there's a wall around the property, and we've got to work on that, and some electrical things, different things we're trying to get accomplished. But our goal is to get the gospel from there into that part of the world. We're also going to be inviting folks from different parts of the world to come there and be trained in module classes 3 or 4 weeks at a time. We'll be able to put them in those rooms, those dormitories, and be able to train them and send them back. And our goal is not to try to build a dynasty. And we know that Christ is the church builder, but he has equipped the church with pastors and teachers and people that can help train and work and get those who are there, train them and get them back onto the field. And that's what we want to try to do. And so I want you to pray with us about this. We have a church that was started on that property, and the man that started it has now started a second church. So there's so many opportunities there. And so I'd love for you to do that. This Saltillo, Mexico is about an hour from Monterrey, Mexico. There's 8 million people that live in Monterrey. I'll give you an idea how big that is. That's the population of New York City. That's not even the biggest city there. There's 38 million. I just saw that this week. 38 million people live in Mexico City. Think of that. And I don't know how true this is, but it is Google, so you know it's true. But they're saying that they're growing 1,000 a day there. That's a lot of souls that need the gospel. And I know people say, well, there's been lots of people going to Mexico. I want you to hear this. Please listen to this. They're coming home. They're not staying. And we live in a generation, I hope every young person hears this. We live in a generation of young people that are surrendering to the mission field, and they last about 2.5 years. Tell me the truth. How many folks have you seen lately lasted 40 years on the mission field? It just doesn't happen anymore. I know people get sick. I'm not talking about that. It's just something we need to pray about. And we want to train them. Not only that, but train these folks to go back to their own people and help them. And I live in Georgia. I can talk to people in Georgia much easier than I can talk to people in Mexico. And I know their language. I know what they like to eat. All of those things. I know all that. And so that's what we're trying to do. Also, one more thing. And thank you for the time, preacher. Some of you have been involved with the Christmas Joy Bags. And what we do is we supply missionaries with Christmas Joy Bags around the world. Last year, about 8,000 of these. And we ask you to fill them with these supplies. And then we have them taken to particular distribution places. And then we go through them, make sure they get boxed and ready to go. And we ship them around the world. So these are very powerful tools. Every one of them get a John and Romans, and we get them to the missionaries, and it's not random. They go straight to missionaries that we know that would be like us, Independent Baptists, and they take those and they go into different places. You'll hear on the video here in just a moment about how we've seen churches started out of this. It's been quite amazing. I'd like for you to take a trip with me to Honduras, and let's go up in the mountains in southern Cheliteca. And you get up in those mountains and you see those little children, and people need the Lord everywhere. Amen. And they're precious. And I thank the Lord for it. Jesus died for everybody. Amen. I told my church the other day, don't be mad at me for saying this, but I told my church the other day, I said, some of you are going to be surprised when you get to heaven and find out it's not just white people there. Yeah. I'm serious. Christ died for everybody. Amen. Amen. The ground is level at the cross. And I'm glad. I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'm glad everybody can be saved. This is just a tool, but it's a great tool. And God has used it. I'm going to tell you one more thing about what we're doing. This year, in fact, in just about a couple weeks, I don't know if you know Brother Edgar Fagali. Brother Fagali is a missionary in the Middle East, and we're shipping a container for him to Liberia. And we'll put about 200 of these joy bags on there. And they speak English, so they'll all get a King James, John, and Romans, and all of that. Also, brand new this year, we have a missionary that's working with refugees from the Ukraine war. And you may or may not know this to be true, but some of the folks at the beginning of the war lost their homes and they've never been able to go back. They're not going to go back. There's nothing to go back to. It's a very sad situation. I've got pictures of straight-faced children. It's just shocking. And I'm not talking about back in 1940. It's a sad day we're living in. But you know, we can say what we believe about this or that. Let the politicians do what they do. But I'm going to tell you this. All of those children and all those people need Christ. Amen. And so we've got a missionary that is on the ground. That's working with the refugee camps. And by the way, we sent 2 containers this last year to the Ukraine. Just medical supplies for this missionary because he has a refugee camp. And all kind of things like that. But what I'm saying is we'll be sending some of those to the Ukraine refugee camps. And then also one more, we're shipping them to Ghana this year. We started that last year. We're going to double that this year. So different countries all around the world we ship these to. But it's exciting. And you get to be a part of it. Very hands-on. And I know pastors, I believe we've got them mailed them to you, and you'll be able to pick one up. And if you want to fill one out, you can do that. And then they'll be going down to Oliver Springs, Tennessee. see, and we'll be taking care of that at the end of September. So I appreciate all these things. Take a look at these things. We've got videos and different things. You can kind of see what we're doing. Try to keep everything short with that. And so I just want to say thank you to your church. It is a real blessing. And one thing I like about being Independent Baptist, I like a lot of it. I like all of it, really. But one thing I really like is that in an Independent Baptist church, you can actually see your missionaries.
Amen.
And there's lots of places, different places where you would never see your missionary.
Right.
But hello, I'm one of them. So it's very nice to meet you, by the way. And I'm looking forward to preaching God's word here in just a minute. But I appreciate your pastor. I consider him a friend, whether he likes it or not. And he's a blessing. And so I think the video ready? Okay, we'll show this video. It's about 4 minutes long, and we'll move forward. Please pick up this information. One more thing. If you are interested in the getting emails, I do one a month, only one page. I don't give you a book, but it's just one page. If you're interested in keeping up with us, sign up for that, and I'll be happy to take care of that. Is it okay if I sit here or here? Which place? Okay. About 120 churches come together and they put Christmas joy bags together during the early fall. We pick them up, we bring them here, and we put scripture booklets in them, and we pack them and get them ready to go around the world. About 8,000 joy bags will be going out to different missionaries around the world, and their children in their ministries will receive them, as well as children they've never been able to speak to, but a gift will open the heart of a child and a parent for the gospel. And so that's why we do this. We see great things every year, great stories every year about children coming to Christ and also their parents.
The Christmas Joy Bags contain school supplies, hygiene items, toys, little treats for the kids, and all of them contain a scripture booklet.
These are things that they have never had before, and for the first time they're getting a scripture booklet. For the first time they're getting their own toothbrush, so this is a big deal to them.
I've been on both sides of the mission field. I've passed them out and I've watched the joy on the children's faces. Some of the kids are just happy to get a toothbrush because they say, now I don't have to share my family toothbrush, or even get the hygiene item in the joy bag, which is the body wash. So it's like things that we take for granted. It's a blessing for those kids to get around the world.
One of the greatest blessings that we receive every year is we'll get missionaries that call us back and say, hey, we were able to go into a new village, we were able to go into a new area we've never been before, and they are open to the gospel. A lot of times a particular religion will be in charge of that area and they won't let Christians in. But when you come with gifts and you come with the love of God in your heart and things for children, it's hard for the leaders of that village to say no. We've had churches start through these joy bags in places like Mexico, pretty amazing. We've helped orphanages where children don't have anything and living on dirt floors, and we're able to give them a Christmas joy bag.
It influences people in a good way, and knowing that the gospel is going around the world and that churches have been started out of this, it's a really good thing.
There'll be about 8,000 joy bags that'll go out this year. We're looking at about 11 different countries or so.
They'll go to countries like Honduras, Mexico, the Philippines, Papua New Guinea. These go all over the world.
Our biggest need for joy bags is obviously more joy bags. I have more missionaries than I have joy bags to be able to take care of what they're asking for.
People can get involved with the joy bags through either giving online at a website, and then we can put the joy bags together with the money that they donated, or we also go to church and we can train them how to do the joy bags through that way.
We also love to have volunteers come and help, just like today. We had probably 30, 35 people here today.
It's a really good time of fellowship as well while doing a really good project.
So we have kids from as young as 7 and 8 all the way up to senior citizens helping put these joy bags together.
And these joy bags are not hard to do. They're pretty easy. So it's a great way to just volunteer some time and get involved in this.
God called us to serve Him, and I think it just was one of those moments where I realized that I needed to be more involved in missions. Just look around you. Why not? It's an amazing door. God's opened doors. There are many adversaries, but yet God keeps us going, and God supplies, and God uses local churches. We couldn't do it without the local church jumping in, taking care of the finances, taking care of the needs of the church and the missionaries.
Your help makes a big difference in the lives of so many people in getting the gospel into hands who have never had the gospel before. And people are getting saved, churches are being started. So thank you so much for your work and your giving.
It touches a heart and it brings joy to a child. Thank you, and please get involved in doing the Christmas Joy gift bags. It's a blessing to children around the world.
To be a part of all of that, and I'm very thankful that your church has been.
I want to make my hand wet, and then I'm.
Amen. That's great. That's great. Good. I had a phone ring yesterday at our church in the middle of our meeting. Nobody's here but us, so we'll just talk a minute, all right?
And I told him it was the Lord calling, but I don't know what he said, but anyway. And what was funny is she got up and took the call. Like, come on, man. You can do better than that. That's good. Take advantage of all of that, if you would. Now, let me tell you one more thing real quick, and then we'll get into the Word of God this evening. I want to mention to you, of course, run this by Pastor first, but October the 5th is we're calling our National Joy Bag Volunteer Day. It's a Saturday. And we're going to start at 10 o'clock, and we're going to feed you lunch, and not at 10 o'clock, but we're going to work a little bit, feed you lunch at noon, 12:30, something like that. And then if you want to stay and work later on, you can. But that's what we're doing. Some churches are going to stick around and go to our church service the next day. I know that may or may not work for you all. But if that's something you're interested in, we'll run it by pastor first. I don't want to get in trouble. But it's an opportunity for you to go and do what you saw there and go to the warehouse, the place you just saw, and be a part of all this. We're just plain folk that just trying to love the Lord. That's all we're trying to do. No pretense here. I mean, it is what it is, and you get what you see, and I know that's disappointing, but it is what it is. I enjoy my own humor. I don't care if you do or not. Very good. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Genesis, all right? Genesis chapter number 37. My wife often says to me, Tom, they don't understand you. I say, yeah, I know. That's all right. I understand myself. That's all that matters. I tell you, when I get older, I'm going to enjoy myself. I'll entertain myself. They'll think I'm crazy, I guess. I don't know. Genesis chapter 37, if you're able to, let's stand together. And Pastor told me you guys were involved in going through the book of Genesis chapter by chapter, I think. And so I apologize if you kind of hear something over again, but I'll do my best to try to do a way better job than your preacher. And so, oh, you got that. Okay, here they are. I'm just kidding. Could never do that. Pastor, I enjoy your friendship. Sorry about that. Apologize for that. And so you're in Genesis chapter 37. If you found the book of Genesis, would you say amen? Yeah. Notice in verse number 5, Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5. The Bible says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, their sheaves, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told of it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. When you read this passage of Scripture, you find these two dreams that Joseph dreams. And these dreams are going to affect the family. Truthfully, they're going to affect the world. And I want to speak to you on this subject because, as you know, Joseph is about to go through it. And many things that he's about to go through are not in his dream. But hear this now. They were in God's plans. Can we pray together? Our Father, I thank you for your word. Father, would you speak to our hearts? Thank you, not only God that you would speak, but Lord, I pray that we would receive. And not just receive, but
But to obey, and not just to obey, but repeat this. Somebody we get to meet this week, somebody we come across needs this truth. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be hearers, doers, and repeaters. I want to tell you I love you tonight. Thank you for Brother Epley and his wife and his children and the church and the blessing you've done in this place. I just thank you for it. God, your touch is here, and I thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I think if we were all to be honest this evening, we would all say that we've had dreams. Sometimes dreams are selfish. Other times dreams are noble. But the truth of the matter is we've all had dreams. We've all thought of what life would be. Now, this is a little different kind of a dream. These were dreams that God put in his heart. But I don't think there's anything wrong with dreaming and planning as long as you realize that you better make it, whatever you write down on your calendar, make sure you write it in pencil because things change. Is that true? Joseph is dealing with this. I want to say this to you this evening as I looked at his life and I thought about some other people and their lives, and this is sort of a buckshot type message. I want you to think about this statement: when it's not in your dreams, it's in God's plan. Psalm 138, verse number 8 says this. It says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." In other words, God will bring to fruition exactly what he wants to do in our life. As we yield to him, we see that. And oftentimes, we have to go a long distance down the road before we can say, "Oh, God was in that." I think some of the folks that you've been praying for, as I listen to the prayer request tonight, I would venture to say that many things they're going through right now, they probably don't say, "Oh, this is wonderful. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose." No, right now they're probably saying, "Why, Lord? I don't understand. These are difficult days, and what are you trying to do?" And it's not in their dream, but it's in God's plan. Joseph is taken as a young boy. You remember the story. If you don't, we'll share just a little bit of it in passing. But Joseph is considered the best of the boys. He's in fact given that coat of many colors, which was much more than just a coat. It had to do with position. He would become the priest of the family, so to speak. That coat meant that he didn't have to do a lot of work, and he caused envy to be built up in his own heart. Truthfully, it was Jacob's fault. He gave a voice to Jacob way too early. I'm telling you, a lot of parents give the voice to a child way too early. You don't have to agree with me on that, but I'm going to tell you what, you'll be miserable if you do. And so will everybody else around you. I'm saying to you that Joseph received a voice way too early. He comes to his brothers one time and he says, "Hey, I had a dream." And he talks about sheaves, and then he talks about stars and how that sheaves will bow down to him and stars will bow down to him. And everybody knew exactly what he was saying. What he was saying is, "One day I'm going to have the dominion over you. One day I'm going to lead you. One day you're going to bow down to me." And they already couldn't stand the kid. And so here he's struggling with probably what we would call propriety. You know, you can't tell everybody your dreams. I've been in the ministry 31 years. I figured out a long, long time ago, you can't tell everybody what's in your heart that God wants you to do. Amen. I'm going to tell you this, my friends. Joseph is now, he finds himself, watch this. Jacob says, "I want you to go to Dothan and I want you to find your brothers and give me a report on them." So he gets there, and the word of God says that they see him coming, and they say, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And they said, "I'll tell you what, come now therefore and let us slay him." And these men were already murderers. Simeon and Levi had already murdered some people. You know your Bible. And they were not afraid to murder their own brother. Reuben says, no, let's not do that. So they throw him into a pit. And here come some Ishmaelites and these Midianites coming along. And I just saw this in somebody giving a commentary on it, that those Ishmaelites that would have passed by were not coming in small amounts. They would come by the hundreds, and they carried with them certain spices and balm that people would be embalmed in Egypt, like the mummies. And they would carry that down to Egypt and sell it to them. Oftentimes they would come with camels and they would sing strange songs while they would travel. Can you imagine the nightmare while Joseph's in the pit saying, "Hey, get me out of here." And all of a sudden, he hears these strange songs as they're traveling. And not only that, but their camels, which were sometimes up to 200 camels, they would carry a bell on those camels' necks. And can you imagine all those bells and that strange singing? You talk about a nightmare scenario. And all of a sudden, they pull him out and they say, "We're going to sell you to the Midianites, the Ishmaelites." And so here he goes down. I'm going to fast forward. He's down in the land of Egypt. He passes by the Sphinx. He passes by the Nile River and he smells things he's never smelled before. He's an old country boy. He's never been around the big city life. And now he's got to eat food that's strange and see clothing that's different and hairstyle that's all different and strange. And he gets down there and they place him in the market and he gets sold to a guy by the name of Potiphar. Well, that sounds good because finally he's being taken care of and immediately has to learn a new language. He has to learn how to take care of somebody's house and he has to do all these things to try to get himself educated to the place where he can be a benefit so he doesn't get thrown out. Well, you know what happens. He rises to the top and Potiphar's wife decides she wants to have an immoral relationship with him. That didn't work out, so she lies about him and he gets thrown into prison. I'm saying to you, all of these things weren't in his dream. He never dreamed that he'd be thrown into the pit. He never dreamed that he'd be thrown in the prison. But I'm telling you, if you study Joseph's life and you listen very carefully, my friend, you're going to know and it's going to be a reality that he would never have stood before the Pharaoh had he not gone through all of these problems. God put in his heart, you're going to lead someday and the world will be saved by you. How in the world is that going to happen in the land of Canaan? He's got to get down to Egypt where the greatest of the dynasties of the world are being raised up. And he's got to be a part of all of that. There's no way that he could do that in Canaan. And God is meandering through his life and dealing with his life. I think about Noah. God told Noah, "I want you to build an ark 450 feet long, 50 feet high, and some 75 feet wide." 120 years he preaches, and the Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5 says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Think about this. For 120 years he preached, "You better get right, there's a flood coming." For 120 years he preached that the judgment of God was going to fall upon the earth. For 120 years, and listen to this, not one convert. I don't think it was in his dreams when God said, "I found grace. You found grace in my eyes. And I'm going to tell you to build a boat. And it's going to be big enough for people." Other people could have been on that boat, but they decided they didn't want to. Listen, my dear friend, it was not in his dream, but it was in God's plan. I think about Abraham. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, I want you to go. And God had said, "Get thee out from thy father's house." He said, "I'll bring you to a place, a land where I can bless you, and I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you. But I'm going to give you a son." He's 75 years of age as you read your Bible. And for 25 years, there's no child. 25 years of dealing with the sin of that he had committed with Hagar. And now Ishmael dealing with Lot, battling Chedorlaomer, and on it goes, trying to live his life in the land of Canaan, believing God. Listen, he went from a God that he could touch, an idol that he could touch in the Ur of the Chaldees, to believing in a God that he could not see, that he could not touch, a God that said, "I am the Almighty God." And so Abraham, listen, I don't think it was in his dream to go through those things, but it was in God's plans. God told him one day, he said, I want you to take your son Isaac, your only son, and I want you to march up to Mount Moriah where we believe the Jerusalem or the temple was at one time. And there I want you to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice to me. God, and finally after the age of 100, gave him the child. And now he has to sacrifice his child. Now hold on, Lord, hold on. Just a minute, Lord. I know you're God and I know you're the king and I know you see everything. But can you just spare this thing? And God said, I want you to take your child, the very thing that you love, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Let me just pause and just say this to you. Now we get a glimpse of what Calvary's like. that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son of Abraham. We know the story. The angel said, don't do it. And he pulled the knife back. And God said, now I know that you will trust me and believe in me. But I want to tell you that God went through with the sacrifice of his son. And he died for you and for me, and God paid. Jesus paid the sin debt for all mankind when the billows of God's wrath rolled upon Jesus there at Calvary. I'm simply trying to tell you, it wasn't in Abraham's dream to pull the knife up. It was not in Abraham. Father, we have the fire and we have the wood. Where's the lamb? And then Abraham would say this, God will provide himself a lamb. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 8 is one of the greatest verses in all the Word of God. The antecedent of himself is God. God will be the sacrifice. That's what it means. And I want to tell you this evening, thank God for the sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary. I'm glad to tell you this. He died, but praise God, on the third day he came out of the grave alive forevermore. He has the keys of death and hell in his hand. And he said, behold, I am he who was dead and liveth, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior. Abraham, it wasn't in your dreams, but it was in God's plan, because God wanted to show a picture of Calvary to the whole world, even before Calvary. Amen. God did not want Isaac to die. He wanted Abraham to be obedient. I thought about David. And I thought about David going down in the valley of Elah, fighting the giant, and then Saul becoming jealous, and the song that was sung became the number one hit on the Billboard charts. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And I think about how that he had to run to the caves and hide in places called Adullam and other places in the Word of God, Engedi and other places. And I think about his life and think about this Samuel, that great prophet, that old man, gray bearded man comes and says, I'm going to anoint you as the king. And he anoints him as a little boy. And David goes back to the sheep and takes care of the sheep. And God began to do a work in his life. And I want to tell you something, my dear friend. As you look at David's life and you think of Saul trying to kill him not once but twice. And you see him trying to be running from Saul. And you see him having to go to the Philistines and try to find help in the Philistine camp. And you see all that he went through. I wonder if David would have said, this is not in my dreams. I was told I was going to be a king. I didn't know I was going to be a renegade. I didn't know I was going to be a running from people. I didn't know that King Saul would come after me. All I wanted to do was what God told me to do. I just wanted to be the king. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. We would never have Psalms like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you listening tonight? I'm trying to tell you something, that it may not be in your dream, but it's in God's plan. Okay, so you grew up in a broken home. Okay, so your parents left you. Okay, so you have financial trouble. You've got physical trouble. You've got problems that you face. You listen to me. God in heaven is still upon his throne. You listen to me. God still has a plan. It may not be in your dream, but you keep dreaming on for the glory of God. I think about Peter. Lord, I'll never deny you. Jesus said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice. And that's exactly what happened. Before all of that, Jesus would say, Simon, behold, Satan had a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. Aren't you glad Jesus is the great intercessor? I prayed for you. And by the way, let me just say this to you. You may feel like no one in the world's praying for you. If you're saved, Jesus is praying for you. And I say to you this evening, Peter said, no, Lord, I'll never deny you. But Jesus was saying, the devil's after you. You ever felt like the devil's after you? The devil's after you, Peter. I'm going to tell you, my dear friend, Peter went out and wept bitterly, but Jesus would say this to him. And after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the disciples trying to go back to fishing and all that they were doing, trying to abandon what God had said. They were discouraged and downhearted. And I love what the angel said. He said, you go tell my disciples and Peter. Yes, sir. What do you think, that's on an accident? No, because God had a plan for Peter. Yes, you see, God humbled Peter and allowed him to be humbled so that he could be exalted. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. I just quoted the Bible. Amen. I'm saying to you that God put it in his plans. I don't think Peter ever woke up one day and said, you know what, today's the day I'm going to deny the Lord. Today's the day I'm going to abandon everything I've believed in the last 3.5 years. I'm simply trying to tell you this evening, it may not be in your dreams, but it's always in God's hands and in His plans. Almost 5 years ago, during the Easter season, I was already having some trouble in my stomach. I wasn't sure what was going on, and I kind of did the manly thing and just put it off because I felt like I could handle it. And there came a day when I couldn't put it off anymore. I told my wife, I said, go get me some medicine if you don't mind. And of course, you know, I say that like I was mean, but I said, dear, precious, darling, lovely, wonderful, I come before thee beseeching thee. No, I'm just kidding. She went and got me some medicine, and I brought it, and I took it. I said, I got to go to the hospital. And I got in the car. She took me, and you know, I'm just going to tell you this. I hope she's not watching. I hope, but anyway, I said to her, I said, you know I'm hurting, and you know I'm in trouble if I let you do the driving. And she drove me to the hospital. She dropped me off. They wouldn't let her in. It was during COVID. The doctor comes in, and he says to me, we're going to run a scan. I said, okay, let's run a scan. So they ran a scan, and they did a CT scan from here to here. And they came back and said, we found something. And they said, you're going to stay, or you're going home and coming back tomorrow, but you're coming back. They said, you could try this and that and see what happens, but you're coming back. And so I tried what happened. I said, I might as well stay. I'm in the room all alone. The doctor comes in and he says, we think you have cancer. It's a colon cancer, about a golf ball size tumor is in your colon up right here in your belly. A couple things are going to happen. We're going to put a bag on you. And we're going to open you up like you've never seen anything before. I said, well, doctor, whatever you got to do. And they took me in finally on Thursday. I went in on Saturday night. Finally, Thursday, they give me this surgery. They remove it, and they do a bunch of things, and my life changed. It wasn't in my plans. It wasn't in my dreams. The doctor came to me and said, it's a very aggressive tumor. You've got to take chemotherapy now. And the chemotherapy that you're going to take, you won't lose your hair, but it'll be very hard on you. I said, and I asked him 2 or 3 times, is it a strong chemotherapy? Yes, strong. You're young. I said, thank you. He said, we feel like you can handle it. My wife could not be there. It was during COVID. She called up the hospital and she said, my husband's got to have surgery. I want to be there. I want to hold his hand. And she said, the lady said, I'm sorry, you can't do that. And she began to cry over the phone. And you know, when a woman hears another woman cry, things get done in this world. And that lady said, if you'll get over here, I'll sneak you in the back door. You can go over there and you can hold his hand, but you got to get out. And she did. And we prayed together. I went into surgery. Longer than what they thought, and there were some difficulties, et cetera, et cetera. I got all through that. I'm sitting there in this room. I can't have visitors, can't have anything. It's so ironic. I'd preached at my home church, Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and check this out. They're on a week delay up on the TV. I'm watching. I'm in the hospital watching myself preach on television. This is weird. And God changed my life. Let me tell you what happened in that room. Let me tell you what happened in that room. And let me tell you what happens to you when you go through things like that. Let me tell you, when they were giving me a physical surgery, God was doing a spiritual surgery on my heart. And God set me down and said, there are some things that you will not be able to move forward with in your life until you deal with this. I know that was a mighty appointment. That was a mighty appointment. Let me tell you something. It was a gift that God gave me to change me. All of my Christian life, I've said I want to be like Jesus. But I didn't really mean it. But God set me down and said, now let's talk. And I'm going to tell you something. God put a grace in me. I can't explain it. And I don't feel like I have to explain it. But I'm telling you, there was a grace in that room. The presence of God was in that room. It was closer than my face. I could not explain it. The things I preached and the things I told other people when I'd go to the hospital, God will be with you. God is with you. Let me tell you something. God will be with you, and God is with you. And it was real. And I've never gone back to the hospital without two things. Number one, when I leave that hospital after I make a visit, I say, thank you, God, that I'm not staying. And also, thank you, God, for your grace. Amen. They did another surgery. They reversed everything, and all that's all gone. And praise the Lord, I'm glad. But God did so many amazing things in my heart during that time. I'm sorry that I had to use a personal illustration, but I know the reason why I'm using this story is because so many of you have gone through something similar. It may not have been that kind of a surgery, but a problem, a tragedy, a sorrow, a heartache. And I'm telling you, if you know Christ as your Savior, you can look and say, okay, God, I didn't want this. This wasn't what I expected. But God, your hand is bigger than my hand, and you're stronger than me, and you have this, and you've got this. And I can trust you through all of this. And I told my brother, he said, are you going to be all right? I said, I'm a winner either way. Amen. Now, don't be mad at me for saying this, but I didn't want to die. I didn't have dying grace. I had some living grace. Come on, say amen. Amen. I've got one more scan, and then they're going to say I'm completely over all that, I guess. Got one more in December. But I'm going to tell you something. And I know this might sound strange, and I've heard people say this all my life. But I'm thankful for what I went through. Amen. The last day of my chemotherapy, I had an allergic reaction. It made me look like I do now. Why are you laughing? I'm really affected by that. I like this church. And so I'm sitting in this chair where they're giving me chemotherapy. My face begins to turn red, redder than what it is now. And my tongue started swelling. And the lady said, I waved my hand. And she said, oh, you're having a reaction. I said, no, I just got to go to the restroom. Sorry, it's a little personal, but that's what was going on. I just got to go use the restroom. She said, no, you're in trouble. She said, go to the restroom. Would you get right back here? They called a doctor immediately. They said, do this, do this, do this. Here comes some very serious woman comes in, a doctor. She's very, very serious, staring at me. Can you breathe? I said, I can breathe. I have no problem with that. She said, you look like you're in trouble. And I got all through that. The very last day of chemotherapy that happened. She said, your body is saying you can't have anymore. I'm grateful for that. But I'm going to tell you this, my friends. I wouldn't trade that. Let me give you some principles to, and I've got to go. Let me tell you a story. I think you got the point. By the way, let me tell you this. Here's what I was going to say, but I'm not going to. Ready? I was going to say this. I've got three thoughts. I was going to tell you this. God's plans are more important than your dreams. But I'm not going to say that. And I was going to say this. God can be trusted with your dreams if they are from Him. But I'm not going to say that. And the third thing I'm not going to say is this, that God will make everything good and for His glory, and He can take that which is broken and mend it for His will. That's right. It's not about me. It's about Him. Let me tell you one more story. I'll be finished. My mother was a great singer. She died this last September. I did her funeral and up at Grace Baptist Church in Middletown, Ohio. My mother was a wonderful singer. She never needed a microphone. And she sang like the old timers sang. She just opened up and let her fly. And she just had a billowing voice, amazing. She doesn't sing like people sing now. You know, some people sing modernly like something's wrong with them. They're sick or something. It's really weird. You know what I mean? Strange to me. Man, she could hold those notes out. It's awesome. Don't tell nobody this, but I thought she was the most beautiful lady I'd ever known. And my father died when I was 10 years of age. He had a brain tumor. He was sick for 8 of those years, so I really didn't know him very well at all. I only knew him sick. He was a Christian, knew the Lord, he preached, but he'd gotten sick and he passed away. My mother decided she was going to make, this is going to age me a little bit, but she was going to make an album. Beautiful singer. And she went and made an album. They entitled it, my aunt wrote a song entitled, I Shall Come Through, and it was very powerful. It was kind of like the story of Job. It was just a great song. And I was working down in Tennessee, which is where we're at now, and I was in Oliver Springs, and my pastor said, I want you to take some Bibles up to Toledo, Ohio. And my wife and I, we had just gotten in the ministry. We were so poor. We didn't have anything. We barely had ourselves. We were just so poor. And so he said, here's the church credit card. He said, don't go crazy, but get you something to eat and get you a motel. Man, we thought we was living on high on the hog. We went to a very fancy restaurant. Man, it was high end. It was called Bob Evans. And we were excited. So we got in a van and filled that whole van up with all those scriptures. And so we drove all the way up to Toledo, Ohio from Knoxville area. And we got up there. I knocked on the door of this church. I'd never met them, don't know who they are, nothing. Here comes a lady. She comes out. I remember she had a white dress on, and she came to the door. She had dark hair, and that's all I remember of her. I knocked on the door. I found a door at that church, and I knocked on it. I figured this is the door. So I knocked on this door. She comes out, and I introduced myself. I said, my name is Tom Green, and I'm dropping off Bibles for Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, and I just wanted you to know that we're here to drop these Bibles off. She said, Tom Green, come. She said, you wouldn't happen to be the son of Sandy Green, would you? This is a true story. I'm not preaching anymore. I'm telling the truth now, okay? This is a true story. And I said, yes, I'm her son. And she began to cry right in front of me. And she said, oh, she said, you don't know it. She said, but my husband died. And I found out about your mother, and someone gave me one of her albums. And she said, I listened to it over and over and over. She said, you don't know this, but your mom's ministry ministered to my heart when I needed it the most. Amen. It wasn't in my mother's dream to go through that. It wasn't in my mother's dream to stand there as a 35-year-old woman with 5 children. It wasn't in my mother's dream to have to go to college and hope the children don't act like fools at home, which we did. It wasn't in her dream to have to go find a job and do this and do that and have to grow up in a little ghetto area where bad things happened all the time. It wasn't her dream, but it was in God's plan, because there was a local church there named Grace Baptist Church where I went to, and I got saved and I got baptized and got called to preach. And I'm standing here in this pulpit tonight preaching. It wasn't in my mother's dreams. It wasn't in our family's dream, but I'm saying it's in God's plan. And it's high time we say, God, I don't have to have the dream, but I sure do have to have your plan. Amen. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Our Father, I thank you for an opportunity just to give this little thought tonight. So many people quit God, they quit church, they quit all kind of things because they get disappointed. If we just wait a little while, maybe we could see that you're working to move us into your will, and we can trust you. Jesus, we need you. May we follow thee. Some hearts are broken here tonight. Some have lost loved ones. Some have gone through sickness. I'm not here to stir all that up. I'm just simply saying, Lord, I still love you. And I trust you. And if need be, you'll take us home anyway. And we'll be with you forever. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I will not linger tonight, but I do want to ask you.